Hello, this is Dave with the News Gazette for Sunday, February 22nd, 2026. We'll begin today's reading on the front page with the article headlined, From Champagne to California and Back. This is LA Confidential, one-on-one with Kylan Boswell. Illini star's success rests on two key decisions. Moving to the West Coast in high school to grow his game, then coming back home to shine. This is by Scott Ritchie. Los Angeles. David Aina was totally against his daughter's family moving from Champaign to California for the express purpose of putting his grandson into the thick of the best high school basketball in the state. Now, Aina hadn't seen his grandson play, didn't know what caliber of player he had become at the middle school level or the potential he might possess. What Aina did know was how competitive high school hoops was in California. But he proved me wrong his freshman year, Aina said Wednesday night at the Galen Center on Southern California University's campus, wearing a homemade t-shirt featuring a picture of his grandson, Illinois guard Kylan Boswell, from his freshman season at Colony High School in nearby Ontario, California. I apologize to my daughter, Ashley, and son-in-law, Brandon, Aina continued with a smile. I thought he'd get eaten up by all the talent out here. High school basketball in California is next level compared to Illinois, the Champaign area. But he came here and held his own and kept moving up to bigger schools and bigger teams, and he got a full ride. Boswell himself wasn't exactly thrilled with the idea of leaving home for California, leaving all the friends he grew up with in Champaign and Urbana. In fact, he said he hated the idea initially. But time has given Boswell perspective on the life-altering move his parents prompted when he was just barely a teenager. They could see the bigger picture he couldn't at 13 going on 14. Now, the 20-year-old Illinois senior has no regrets about making the move to the West Coast. Growing up in Champaign, basketball opportunities weren't as big as other places, Boswell told the News Gazette on Thursday afternoon at the team's hotel in Los Angeles before leading the number 10 Illini, who are 22-5 overall and 13-3 in the Big Ten, into a 7 p.m. showdown at UCLA, who are 17-9 overall and 9-6 in the Big Ten on Saturday. I can't see maybe how much better I would have gotten if I stayed in Urbana. Leaving Champaign for Cali, I had a lot of different things accessible to me I wouldn't have had in Champaign. I think I would have still dominated in my league, but I don't know if I would be at the level I'm at now. We were huge on the idea of we needed better competition around me to become somebody like that. It was the best decision I ever made. Getting adjusted right away, it was the right move for Boswell's basketball future, but still a calculated risk. You're kind of insane when you're doing those types of things, right? Said Boswell's dad, Brandon. But ultimately, it was hopefully getting in a space where he could have a lot more exposure to professionals. A lot of professional athletes spend their summers out here. We did have some family out here, so it helped cushion the blow a little bit. That was okay. For Kylan's sake, it was a blind thing, and hopefully it was going to work out. For him, for his success and his growth, it was vital. Just to get out of Champaign and kind of see that the world was a little bit bigger than that small circle we had grown accustomed to. It didn't take long for the right type of connections to start to form. The Boswells ran into former UCLA standout and 11-year NBA pro Darren Collison The first week, they moved to California. That led to a workout with Collison, a connection to his trainers at ProVision, Calvin Mitchell and Sean Marshall, and the path to opening doors into that West Coast basketball community. A community that saw Boswell get the occasional pickup run with current Dallas Mavericks guard Klay Thompson, not to mention the relationships he built with players his own age at Colony, then Centennial High School in Corona, California. The latter is where he teamed up with Jared McCain, now with the Oklahoma City Thunder, and Donovan Dent, now a senior at UCLA, to form a dominant backcourt that led Centennial to a CIF Open Division title during the 2019-20 season. ProVision were the first people who saw me and saw I could be legit, Boswell said. They took me in and let me work out for free with them multiple times. It definitely helped my game tremendously. It helped my competitive style. I had more of an edge. I'm not somebody who enjoys losing at all, and I don't like the feeling of not being one of the better players on the court. When I first got out there, it was evident I needed to put a lot of work into my game. Playing with pros and other high-level prep prospects also served to desensitize Boswell to celebrity. Even if he admitted seeing Drake and LeBron James courtside for the CIF Open Division Championship game was still insane. Still, workouts with Collison and pickup runs with Thompson stripped some of the mythos of those two as NBA standouts or stars. They were just basketball players, someone to compete against. It was good for him to recognize, oh, I can be at that level with any of those people, Brandon Boswell said. I think that was the best thing that worked out for him. Those type of things helped him in the long run grow mentally and approach basketball in a more professional way. A breakthrough moment. Watch Boswell now, and you see a voracious competitor, a leader for an Illinois team ranked in the top 10 nationally for the last month with Big Ten and NCAA tournament championship aspirations. The competitor was always there in Boswell. The confident leader took some time to develop. An early season tournament at Los Osos during his freshman season at Colony was an inflection point. Growing up, I was a shy kid, Boswell said. I did not, 100% at all, have the leadership aspect I have now. I was more than comfortable being in the back seat. I was a little timid my freshman year when I got there. The first tournament was at Los Osos. I killed it. I murdered all those kids. Our team was really good too, and then I got the starting position. From there it took off, and I felt more comfortable. I was really timid, but getting to see that, seeing all the work I'd been putting in actually blossom on the court, is really all you can ask for. Having that feeling is the biggest thing. Confidence in basketball is the make it or break it for a lot of players. For me, 100%, it was my make it or break it. Getting that at a young age and feeling confident in myself allowed me to be where I'm at now. Boswell's big breakout happened during the summer before his sophomore season. A dominant run through Section 7, a premier event held annually every June for top high school teams, saw him leave Mesa, Arizona with a 5-star ranking and nearly 24 college scholarship offers. The CIF Open Division title with Centennial was followed by Boswell's first USA basketball experience, which ended in gold at the 2021 FIBA Americas U16 Championship in Ixtapala, Mexico. Boswell then moved on to Compass Prep in Arizona for his junior season. The one thing that will always stick out is he played on really good teams, Illinois coach Brad Underwood said. He played with really good players. I enjoyed watching his teams play. McCain and him were in a backcourt together, and they were sensational defensively. He's always had a great body, great physique, and it's been fun to see him mature and grow his game. Growing through adversity. Illinois was in the thick of Boswell's recruitment out of high school and got an official visit in February 2022. Aina tagged along. A former Illinois defensive lineman who played under Mike White with the Illini in the mid-1980s certainly extolled the virtues of his alma mater, but he didn't try to press the issue. I tried to mind my own business, Aina said. I told him how wonderful my experience was and how proud I was to attend the University of Illinois, but I wanted him to make that decision. Boswell's final eight included Illinois, Texas Tech, Oregon, UNLV, USC, Michigan, Kansas, and Arizona. Arizona ultimately won out, and Boswell eventually reclassified to join Tommy Lloyd's second team in Tucson, Arizona for the 2022-23 season. And Boswell had some success in the desert. Arizona won 28 games his freshman season, with the 6'2" guard coming off the bench, and 27 more victories his sophomore year when he was a full-time starter. The Wildcats made the NCAA tournament both seasons and even reached the Sweet 16 in 2024. But something wasn't quite right. He didn't fit well there, Aina said. He was young. He was 17 years old as a freshman. I didn't miss a game in Arizona because it's 4 hours away, so I went to every game. When he was young, 17 years old, he was hanging around mid-20s guys. He was on an older team trying to fit in, and I thought he lost himself. Boswell made it clear that entering the transfer portal after his sophomore season at Arizona was to get a fresh start somewhere else. I needed to implement myself somewhere where I knew that discipline, how you are as a person and how you carry yourself, were bigger than anything else, Boswell said. Illinois was that place. Thriving in his hometown. Returning home to Champaign in the summer of 2024 helped Boswell remember what it was like when he wasn't as good on the basketball court, helped him remember the type of work it took after moving to California to reach that level, to be somebody in this sport. I think anybody who wants to be successful in any aspect of life, you've got to put discipline and sacrifice at first, Boswell said. At a young age, especially in college, I did not understand that concept. But I understood I wanted to be somebody and be somebody who could be great. I needed to give myself a reality check. Coming to Illinois did that for me. It's a literal full circle moment, one that gets reinforced every time he's the last player State Farm Center public address announcer Tim Sinclair calls out during the starting lineup introductions. The roar of the hometown crowd really hasn't changed, even if Boswell certainly has. It's great to see his own personal maturity, Brandon Boswell said. I think there was a time where he may have either not cared or just been like a common young boy who was like, whatever, and overlooked it. Hearing the fans in that moment show a lot of adulation and appreciation for him, I think he really enjoys it. Being in Champaign has been a blessing. It's been a wonderful feeling of camaraderie and family just from the community itself. Seeing Kylan grow in that space in his final couple years of college, having a good time and being happy, that's the best part. It was a move back to Champaign, to Illinois, that Aina definitely endorsed this time around. That is the coolest thing for me personally, he said. It's nice for him to go back to where I went to school and make a bigger name than I did. I'm proud of him. I think he's in a really good spot with good coaches around him and an excellent team. A phenomenal team to watch. Scott Ritchie covers college basketball for the News Gazette, and his email is sritchie@newsgazette.com. And you can follow him on Twitter at srritchie. Continuing on the front page from Champaign Central High School, article titled, First Year Principal to Resign at End of School Year. This is by Jeff D'Alessio, Champaign. One of the longest days in the Champaign Central principal's office will be followed by one of the shortest. Montia Gardner, who a year ago next week was promoted to succeed the retiring Joe Williams as principal of the area's largest high school, will resign from that position effective June 30th, according to a list of personnel changes attached to Monday's Unit 4 board agenda. In a statement issued to the News Gazette on behalf of the district Friday, Unit 4 Chief Communications Officer Stacy Moore said, Dr. Montia Gardner will not be returning to Champaign Central High School next school year. Unit 4 appreciates her service over the past several years and wishes her well as she pursues other opportunities. The district remains committed to working with Dr. Gardner to ensure the current school year finishes strong. Gardner was appointed to the top job at Central on the 24th day of Black History Month last year, becoming the high school's first African-American principal. A throng of supporters cheered the news at that February 2025 school board meeting, where an emotional Gardner spoke of the path paved by her grandmother, the first African-American janitor at a high school in Gary, Indiana, and promised to make Central a positive and inclusive learning environment where all students feel valued, supported, and empowered to reach their full potential. Gardner arrived in Champaign in the winter of 2022, serving as Central's assistant principal, then associate principal under Williams, who retired last summer after leading the high school for 17 years. The position has already been posted on the district's job board with a salary of $142,639. Continuing inside the front page, we have Top of the Morning. Something to get you going today, courtesy of Vice President Jim Rossow. The scene today at Rocco's Tavern near the campus of UCLA, already expected to crazy, will be made even better when the bus from San Diego pulls up. So excited to catch Brad Underwood's Illini in person on the West Coast, the San Diego Illini Club chartered and quickly sold out a 56-seat bus for today's game against the Bruins. Everyone super excited, club member and U of I grad, class of 1998, Aaron Swanson said. The plan, scoop up club members at three stops in San Diego for a festive 130-mile drive to Westwood that will include drinks, snacks, and Illini trivia. First stop is Rocco's for a party hosted by the Los Angeles County Illini Club and the U of I's Alumni Association. After what is sure to be a happy hour, the Orange and Blue crew will make a short walk to Pauley Pavilion. If it's anything like Wednesday's fan turnout at USC, the Illini will definitely enjoy a home court advantage, some 2,000 miles from campus. Swanson said it's the first time the club has chartered a bus since the Illini played in the Rose Bowl after the 2007 football season. She wasn't surprised so many club members ponied up to make it happen. We have always been very supportive of the sports teams and the university, she said, noting the club's scholarship program that has benefited U of I students since 1989. Hopefully this works out well so we can do something similar for football season when the Illini visit UCLA on November 14th. And in history, Area history in 1926, a mail route airplane heading from Maryland to St. Louis crashed into a cornfield near Chanute Field in Rantoul after running out of fuel. Its pilot, Lieutenant Frank M. Stewart of Aberdeen, Maryland, a graduate of West Point, died of head injuries 2 hours later in the post hospital. His companion, identified as Private Horton, remains hospitalized and is expected to survive. In 1976, Champaign Police Lieutenant James Voss repeatedly told Champaign Fire and Police Commissioners he was not the source of allegations by suspended Police Sergeant William Newman against members of the police department. Newman, who went last May to Champaign City Council member Mary Pollock with charges that several Champaign officers stole state-provided funds, identified Voss to investigators as the source of his information. In 2011, the Champaign City Council wants another chance to consider Judah Christian School's plan to relocate to the western edge of the city, a proposal council members already defeated in January. Council members will revisit the issue. If 5 council members support the relocation, it would appear on a future council agenda for final approval. In international history, today's highlight, on February 21, 1965, civil rights activist Malcolm X, 39, was shot to death inside Harlem's Audubon Ballroom in New York. 3 men identified as members of the Nation of Islam were convicted of murder and imprisoned. All were eventually paroled. And continuing with Kathy's mailbag, tell me the U of I isn't building something in the grassy area between 1st and Oak Streets west of Memorial Stadium. I'd hate to see anything happen to Lot 31. I'm seeing a big dirt pile and a bunch of white mystery crates there. Don't worry, Lot 31, known for its vibrant tailgating scene on Illini football game days, is safe. U of I Facilities and Services spokesman Steve Brettweiser said the temporary dirt pile is associated with the installation of the new video board at Geese Memorial Stadium, specifically the foundation excavation for the soon-to-be largest main display in college football. The video board will be over 17,300 square feet. Some of the dirt will be used to backfill the area surrounding the new foundations, while the rest will be hauled away, he said. He said the large crates wrapped in white plastic contain project materials for the installation. And the next question is, has any group or theater jumped in to fill the void left by the art theater's closure? I've heard of independent, foreign, and art films sometimes show at the Savoy 16, but never seem to see them advertised. You've heard correctly. Nat Dykman, president of the Shambana Film Society, heads an Illinois not-for-profit corporation dedicated to bringing independent, international, short films and art house films to Champaign-Urbana, as well as promoting other film events around town. I've been working in film for more than 2 decades. I founded the Lake County Film Festival in 2004, produced the feature film QWERTY, which Roger Ebert called charming, winning, and sweet, operated a music label and a DVD label, and currently serve as an event coordinator for a feature documentary that is planning a 100-city tour. In 2012, Ebert described QWERTY as the love story of 2 lonely misfits who find hope with each other through their common love of the game Scrabble. When my family and I moved to the area in 2023, I assumed Champaign-Urbana would already have a large festival dedicated to new independent films. I was surprised to discover that Ebertfest was the only multi-day film festival in town. I knew I wanted to start something here, but I also knew it would need to grow organically. In March of 2024, Dyckman began hosting monthly screenings at the Savoy 16 Plus IMAX Theater under the name the Shambana Film Festival. Our first event was a free community screening of QWERTY, a way to introduce myself and give audiences a sense of the kinds of films I'm passionate about, he said. He eventually incorporated the Champaign-Urbana Film Society as the umbrella not-for-profit organization with two primary programs, the Savoy Lumiere, an annual spring festival, and the Savoy Art House, a mostly weekly screening series. The first Savoy Lumiere was held May 29th to June 2nd of last year and featured 14 screenings over 5 days, including the world premiere of the locally filmed Brim, the documentary Sally About Sally Ride, and numerous shorts and features. After a brief summer pause, we launched the Savoy Art House in October as a regular screening series, Dyckman said. He said his year has begun with tremendous community support. Our last three screenings, a showcase of locally made films from a 48-hour film contest, the locally filmed Moses the Black, and the Oscar-nominated Palestinian film The Voice of Hind Rajab, each drew more than 100 attendees. The Society is not affiliated with the Savoy 16 Plus IMAX. It rents auditorium space from the theater. Our model is straightforward. We secure the venue, license the film, promote the screening, and work to cover our costs. Savoy 16 has been an exceptional partner. Many independent film organizations would not be able to accomplish this much in under 2 years without such a supportive theater. We're also grateful to the Village of Savoy, which has been very supportive and is currently our sole sponsor. Although I wasn't living here when the art theater was operating, I've heard countless stories about its impact. I'm very aware of the legacy it left behind. When Ebertfest concluded, some people asked whether I planned to take up its mantle. While we are expanding, the second Savoy Lumiere is scheduled for April 30th to May 4th. My deeper interest is in carrying forward the spirit of the art theater through the Savoy Art House, bringing a new exciting film to town every week and rebuilding a consistent home for independent cinema. We'll take a short break now and return with the second half hour of the News Gazette for Sunday, February 22nd, 2026. Please stay tuned.